Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. And I'm joined with my vivacious and incredibly loquacious.
Oh, that's what's up. I'm feeling that introduction.
Just 100%. And if you want to holler at us, the phone number is 646-929-2037. Once again, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Got any questions, comments, concerns, something you feel we should talk about on the show? dick@smoothdrama.com. We shall accommodate because we are very accommodating. And if you want to catch up to Miss 100% my loquacious, vivacious co-host, where can we catch you, Miss 100%?
You guys can text. You can catch me on Facebook. You can. That's Miss 100% Smith spelled out. Also, you can email me at imnotbs@yahoo.com. And also, you can catch me on tag at MS100%, that's 100% sign.
All right. And if you want to catch me, you can catch me on Facebook, Twitter, tag my yearbook. If you want to catch me on Facebook, my yearbook, and tagged, and Bebo, and all those other sites, I'm Dick Hugger. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Smooth Drama. Follow me, add me. I'll follow you and add you back. And I'm sure Miss 100% will do the same. Because
I will. You like me, I like you back.
That's right. We're very, very accommodating. And speaking of accommodating, man, it's a big week for me, Miss 100%. You know, San Diego Comic-Con is here. I'll be heading down to San Diego tomorrow. It's going to be on. Got my boys gonna be in concert, HISD. It's gonna be a whole beautiful week, and plus, of course, I'm a big comic book guy, so you know the nerd in me is like, woo!
It's like yes.
The last bastion of imagination. I'm going to say all the people of imagination all in one place at the same time. It's a beautiful
thing. Oh, my God. Somebody better call the cops.
That's right. Well, we're not calling the cops. Speaking of imagination, you know, in reality shows, you know, we're inundated with reality shows.
Yeah.
I saw one that just thought it was different. Zambia in Africa, they have movie TV has a ready for marriage show which highlights former prostitutes helping them find husbands.
Really?
Yeah, it's got 18 sex workers, as they call them, who give a cash prize of about $9,000 and have their wedding paid for.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how successful they think this show is going to be. I don't know if there's going to be a long line of guys trying to marry prostitutes. And if they are, you probably going to have to check the mentality of these guys. You know, the
Zambian prostitutes. Trying to find husband.
Everybody need love. I mean.
Well, you know what, though? How much, when you talk about reality shows, how much realer can you get than that? I mean, that's certainly a different twist, you know, on reality shows. I must admit that.
Yeah.
Putting it rather lightly.
Yeah. I myself, I'd be curious to see. How did they go across? I know I probably won't be able to understand what they're talking about, and I probably don't speak the dialect. But be interesting to see how that goes, especially over there in what they call Africa. You know, they're not very chivalrous over there.
Right.
Speaking of non-chivalry, there's this man in Russia who tried to rob a hairdresser. And she was a karate black belt, and she beat him senseless, tied him up naked, and used him as a sex slave for 3 days.
Let me be the first to say, that's what's up.
What do you mean that's what's up? So you
tear his ass up. That's what it, I bet you he would. But then again, that might make that fool want to rob people or break. He want to see if he could be used as a sex slave again.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say this. I don't think that happens every day.
That what a punishment. That's some punishment, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because
force-fed Viagra.
Force-fed Viagra and made to have sex with her for 3 days.
For 3 days.
Oh, the horror.
Our secret phrase for today is cum coma.
Wait, hold on now. Now here's where I gotta check you. So you're saying it's all right that I mean, I know he was a criminal and whatnot, but it's all right for her to rape him repeatedly?
Yep, I feel that. I mean, that's just how I feel. I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion. Man is, if he, you know, he's trying to rob you, fuck shit out of him and teach him a lesson.
Yeah, okay, but but if I did that to a female robber,
I know where you're going with this.
Right?
I get you. What I'm just saying.
I got you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he deserves, and depending on what Olga looked like, it might have been a chore for him. I mean, because
it might have been torture.
Right.
You know, like you.
Olga might not have been that attractive.
Olga might not have washed in weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that's really a punishment.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, it sounds cool in theory. Like, yeah, damn, I need to break into a hair salon. But then you might see a picture of Olga and like, oh, wow.
I guess she said, you done mess with the right person.
Yeah.
I'm the right person for you to fool with today. I'm going to teach you behind the lesson. But
right.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Moving on. On a whole different note. And this, I got to ask, there was these porn stars who were arrested for having a car filled with animals that they abandoned in their car. A supposedly Raul Armenteros and James Arroyo Jr. charged with 22 counts of animal cruelty in my favorite state.
Yeah.
Of Florida. They had 8 roosters, 4 guinea hens, 4 pigeons, a duck, and 4 goats including one that died inside the car.
What kind of pleasure can you get from a rooster?
Well, I mean, this is a legend that they actually were going to have sex. I mean, it's circumstantial evidence that they were porn stars and they had animals in their car.
Okay.
So,
all right. So that's just really hearsay.
Yeah, not hearsay because the animals were in their car, but maybe they were starting a farm. You know, old McDonald had a farm. Maybe they...
You know what? That's pretty close. That's just wrong. Just wrong. I'm sorry. That's just wrong.
I agree. I'm just saying. I mean, technically, it's either they were starting a farm and they misjudged the temperature outside in Florida in the summer. Or they plan on having some escapades with the goats in the pigeon. How can you have sex with a pigeon?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not.
But you want him to peck on you?
Anyway, the crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we just. I just.
Leave it up to me to get graphic all the time, but okay.
Yeah, that's very graphic. Now, what's even more graphic, there's this convicted murderer who's suing the state of Colorado for saving his life after his heart stopped beating. So, this guy, Daniel Self, who suffers from sleep apnea, said he ordered the prison guards not to resuscitate him if he stopped breathing. And he filed a lawsuit that the prison officials were deliberately indifferent to his right to refuse medical treatment when he stopped breathing in 2009.
Okay, so that's kind of a serious issue, though, when you think about it, because if you have a DNR in place, you're not supposed to resuscitate people. So if he had that document, he might be getting paid.
Okay, but this is a guy who's in jail for life for the killing of a 24-year-old woman who was pregnant.
And he wanted to die.
Right. And
so let him die.
Right. I'm like, if somebody says, if I die, do not resuscitate me, okay. I don't see the issue.
Right. I don't either.
Yeah. Colorado police. And very intelligent. I just want to know who gave this dude mouth to mouth.
There you go.
They resuscitated a dude whose sleep apnea didn't want to live. I'm like, that's a serious issue. Let his ass die. If he wants to die, let his ass die.
Right. And he didn't kill the 24-year-old woman, young woman.
Yeah, pregnant woman. Don't
pregnant
get
woman.
Out. So he killed two people.
He killed two people.
Yeah, and if he wants to go, let him go.
Yeah, you're right.
But.
Wow.
Yeah. And on that note, being this day at the eve of Comic Con here, we gonna play with the theme here. This is the theme song to Wombat Roo from Kimmy J of Radio Galaxy and Savvy. Y'all check it out. It's funky.
Well, the sun. course. Wombat combat, back to the source. Like a branch to the tree, to the roof, to the sea. Park up the wrong trunk, get laid in the leaves. Cause the bug gets dumped and speakers go thump. Last chance to retreat, is that really what you want? Are you hard in the street, but can you swim in the swamp? Or survive in this wildlife? Crocodile hunter type, land down under mic. Chew you up, spit you out. Sit them out 50 or 60 feet. Bag, bag, trick or treat. Paper bag, wrap that. Throw you in a knapsack if you think it's good or sweet. Smile on your face, keep a child in his place. Out of luck, out of grace, with no one to hug you. Nowhere to run to, double check behind you. One bad roof, fool, nowhere to find you.
Smiling faces, don't mistake it. World is
song for Wombat Roo featuring Kimmy J and Savvy of HISD. And while we're here, we have a serious issue that we want to talk about tonight. I believe, sir, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
All right. This is concerning a young man, Kylan English, and an unfortunate incident that happened between Mr. English and the police. And I believe I'll let you take it away, sir, and fill us in on the details.
Yeah, it happened on July the 16th. My nephew, Kylan English, he was going through some issues, you know, as a young man, 20 years old, you know, having his first child. He was going through a lot of issues that a lot of young men go through when they start having kids before it's time for them to go through it. And he got into it with his girlfriend, and he went over to her house, and, you know, he was beating on her door because he wanted to talk to her, but her auntie wouldn't let her come outside, so her auntie called the police, the Dayton police. And the Dane police, he kicked the door open. Not her door, but the door to the apartment building. He kicked that door open. And when he went outside, the police was waiting on him. So he got in the police car, and he was very irate and upset. Of course he would be, because he hadn't did anything really except kick an apartment door open. And the police proceeded to take him downtown. That was at approximately 8:45 on July 16th. So when he gets downtown, you know, when you're in the back of the police car, when you get to the county jail, I don't know of how it is in other cities, but in our city, they ask the police officer, is he disgruntled or is he cooperative? Well, the police said he's being disgruntled. So they said, well, we won't accept it. So they wouldn't take him into the police station until he got medical attention. So then the officer was instructed to take him to Grandview Hospital. They took him to Grandview Hospital here in Dayton, and I don't know what happened, but he was back on his way downtown at approximately 9:30. Now, this has all happened at 8:45. Now, they even took this guy to the hospital, and he's on his way back downtown by, like, 9:30. And so, as he's going downtown, he's in the back of the police cruiser, and he's saying some things that, you know, a lot of young men, like I was trying to explain to my wife, a lot of young men say things that they don't mean when they're going through the thing. So he says to the police, will I go to heaven if I kill myself? And I don't know what the police officer's response was. And then they show on television a part where he says he wants to die. And then they show glass breaking out of the police car. And then they show him, and then they say that he he swan dived over the Salem Avenue Bridge here in Dayton and killed
him. Well, sir, first, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but jumping in, now, I know part of the story, but you're saying that you had a videotape of the incident?
Yes, but it's edited. It's a videotape that is on the police cruiser. You know, they have the cameras on the cruisers.
Right.
And so they're supposed to tape that, everything about the whole incident. And they, when they showed it on the news, you can tell that the video is edited because it shows him at 9:37 saying he wants to die. And then at 9:38, the police cruiser stops. And then it skips to 9:40. And there's a space missing between 9:38 and 9:40. Now, 2 minutes is quite a bit of time for a police officer to assault him,
right,
in that short period of time. And then the frame goes back to 9:39, and you see nothing. And it was just you know, everybody here in the city is in an uproar because they know how the Dayton police operate. And they know that film was bogus.
Okay.
And it's the fact of the matter is that, you know, all across the country, you know, the police in the black community have been in the uproar all across the country, especially here in Dayton. But,
well,
I
was going to say that, yeah, the police brutality, yeah, that's something that's national. I mean, I'm here in Oakland. You know, they had an incident or 3,500. I mean, it's something that's all across the country. That one, unfortunately, it's something that they just do on the regular. As far as
I know. And it's got to stop. But I take responsibility. I'm a 46-year-old husband and father, and my oldest child being 25, my youngest being 9. And, you know, I take some responsibility, you know, because I feel like as some of the OGs out here, we didn't really give these kids the game like we should have gave it to them. The game meaning we should have taught them how to be young men and young women. We should have taught them how to, you know, really live a life and gave them some alternatives and some advice on when they get themselves in situations that young people find themselves in. And it's an epidemic across the country of young people having kids before it's time for them to be parents. And
that's
one of the issues Tyler was dealing with.
Well,
you know?
I mean, and I agree with you back on the whole this generation. I think our generation has failed the generation after us. In that, like you say, we don't give them the game, or the people around them aren't giving them the game that they need to survive.
Exactly.
You know, they don't have the survival skills socially.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we got kids who are living a reality that is not real. It's illogical. You know, sorry about that. I was going to ask you, so now, in lieu of the videotape that's been doctored, are you guys looking at bringing in someone to investigate it further?
We've already had two civil rights meetings. The NAACP has been called in. We're also gonna probably get an attorney from out of town to handle the case. We're not gonna take this on the chin. Kylan was a very promising young man. He had connections in Atlanta and Hollywood. He had been down there with Bow Wow and Tierra and Jermaine Dupri was had him in dance class, choreography class, giving singing lessons. He had a real promising future, and I don't think that they really knew who they were dealing with, you know, when they did that to this boy. I don't think they knew what his resources were, who his parents were, You know, and I think that would have had some certain effect, though, on how they treated him had they known that.
Well, I had probably had to disagree with you there. I mean, you know, I mean, because you're saying they would differentiate a black man more because of his fame. No, I disagree with you there.
Well, not as much as fame, but his resources. Having, you know, it's just like if you the mayor's kid, or it's just like if your parents have or your parents are well known in the community, or they have some type of prominent job. It does have a bearing effect on how you are treated, no matter what color you are.
Well, yeah, I can see that. But, you know, just them responding an irate young black man, I mean, in that aspect, they looking at us with that one eye that all society looks at us.
Yes.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they...
In this situation, they neglected to follow protocol. In this situation, I mean, you know, we got eyewitnesses that you know, they said that this young man was handcuffed in the back of a police car, and that he banged his head up against the window, shattered the window, jumped out with the handcuffs on, jumped out the window with the handcuffs on onto the sidewalk, and then swan dived over the bridge. Now, I've never seen him do that in a Hollywood movie.
Well, it's funny. I actually saw that in a Hollywood movie, super spy Hollywood movie.
Yes, nice. I mean,
not to make light of it, but I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing that I've heard, that a guy can repeatedly bash his head on a window and then, in one fell swoop, after the repeated, because I'm thinking that one headbutt is not going to do it.
Right.
Repeatedly hitting his head, and then he can then jump out with the handcuffs, a perfect jump out of the window.
And swan dive over a bridge.
Yeah, I'm not buying.
Not to mention Kyler's stature. He was a rather big kid, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was 215 pounds. He wasn't heavy set, but he had very broad shoulders, really wide shoulders, and in the back of a police car, very light.
He just jumped out of a cop's window.
You have no handles, and there are no car handles in the back of a police car, so you cannot open the door from the inside. It's like childproof lock. They have to open it from the outside for you to get out. And then you have the bar that separates the officers from the prisoners, you know. And so how he could get through past that bar with his hands handcuffed behind his back and bang his head, we heard about maybe 4 to 5 hits on the window, or, you know, on television. And then you see
and
glass.
Why did they even stop the car, too, for him to be able to get out of the car? What was the purpose of stopping on the Salem Bridge?
Their purpose was to kill another brother and kill another one of our young brothers in this community. That was their purpose.
My
thought is that they coerced it, they allowed it. Now the police chief comes on television and he says that the police are negligent because they didn't have his seatbelt on. But there's a lot of speculation about it, because the police officer in the car is saying that he just had handcuffed him. Did you handcuff him while you was driving? Was he even handcuffed at all? I mean, these are questions that we they won't let the family have the tape just yet. You know, they wouldn't let us into the coroners to view the body just yet. But some kind of way, one of the family members did get to view the body before it's been sent to the funeral home. And he had no cuts or abrasions on his face at all.
Well, that was my next question. So someone actually saw the body and say that there were no cuts or bruises on the body?
Exactly. They said he had taser marks on him. You know, the prongs that a taser leaves in you when the police hit you with that taser. Now it's all starting to make just more sense to the black community of what really happened. I feel like, you know, the police officer got out the car, which the eyewitness already said, the passenger side police officer got out the car, he opened the door, and then Kylan bolted out the car. That makes more sense. Now, it also would make sense to me that maybe those taser marks came when they tased him over the bridge.
Right.
I just can't believe life, my nephew, with such a promising future, would just throw his life away just like that. He was dating heartthrob. I mean, every young girl in this town knows him. The very next,
yes.
It wasn't even 24 hours later. It was may have been. It happened at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. So the very next day, we go down to the bridge. We do a visual, and over 300 people show up. Now, you know, I wish that 300 people would show up at a visual for everyone who dies out here, but
yeah.
A lot of people, unfortunately, no one shows up. But this young man had 300 followers show up the very next day at his visual. So
well,
that just shows you how much he was loved and how much he loved people.
And that shows his character as well, because the way that they tried to paint a picture of Kylan as this out of control young black man is not who he was. So
no,
just
not at all.
300 people
very,
showing up shows that he was a good kid, and he was not, you know, the monster that they tried to make him out to be. So
exactly.
Well,
he came up in a two-parent household. He had wonderful parents. They. I will say that he was spoiled his whole entire life, but he wasn't wanting for anything. His parents are very successful here in Dayton, and money was not an issue in his life ever. It was never an issue.
Well,
and
I want to add the point, and I think you made this point. You wish that 300 people would show up for a lot of these senseless, I call it how I see it, murders.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as being spoiled, I mean, parents are supposed to take care of the kids. I don't look at it as spoiled. I just say that he had good parents who loved and cared for him and wished the best on him and for him.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. It's so tragic, you know, and right now it's so tense in our city. And I'm quite sure it's tense all over the country, you know, because Cleveland, Detroit, you know, they have up in Cleveland with the Anthony Soul guy who murdered 11 women in his house. And, you know, the Cleveland Police Department never looked for any of those women when people were reporting them missing, you know. And it's just atrocious how the police departments across the country handle black situations, you know.
Well,
that's
the whole point. They aren't being handled. I mean, it's just there's no, as I've said countless times on this show, the disregard for black life.
Yeah.
All over it's at a ridiculous rate. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter the scenario. I mean, it was part of why I was talking about the South Sudan separating from Northern Sudan, you know, the whole Darfur, one of those things where they're constantly killing the all the black people and still raping the women and stealing the kids, but there's no uproar for that. There's no, oh, he's a tyrant, we need to get rid of those people.
It's because we don't stick together as a people. You know, my wife has a shirt on right now, and it says, "None of us is as good as all of us."
Right.
And that's the reason why. And that's the reason why we can't get things done. You know, they went out and voted for Barack when it was time to elect a new president. And let's face it, our country needed a new face. But when it was time to vote for issues in the community and city officials and sheriffs, and chief of police, people didn't come out to vote. They thought that their job was over with, and their job is not over with.
Right,
now,
the job.
Trying to get out here now.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do now.
Well, brother, I support that endeavor all the way. I mean, I think that it's important that we talk about the people who no one wants to talk about. We have to have a voice. I mean, and we have to make our voice heard. And it's got to be, like you said, not just electing Barack Obama. It's who is accountable to you at City Hall? Is your mayor account? Is your congressperson accountable to you? I mean, if you're not doing that, and, you know, like you was talking about, we don't care, and the T-shirt, none is more important than all of us. That's why I say it's international. There's a disregard for us on all levels, and until we see that and make ourselves regardable on all levels, we will never get respect on a local level because they don't respect us internationally. You think they're going to respect us here? They don't respect us out of this country or in this country.
No, they don't. And we have been the true pioneers to help put this country together. You know, this country was built on a black man's hands because before they started importing or letting immigrants come over here from different countries, it was on the backs of slaves. They came straight over here, American, African, and they then gave us five names. At first we started out being Negroes, then we Black. Mm-hmm. Now we African-American. I don't know what they're going to call us next. But
well,
this was built on a black, by a black man's hands, you know, and a black woman.
Well, that point is, moving forward, we can't talk about what happened in the past. Going forward, if we not – no positive solutions. There's nowhere to look but in the mirror.
That's right.
Gone are the days.
We have no choice right now. We have no choice right now but to pursue this and take it to the next level as far as we can take it, as far as suing this police department. Somebody has to be accountable for my nephew's life. He did not die in vain. Somebody is going to be accountable for that.
Well, I mean, I hope that in making them accountable for your nephew's life, they also can make them accountable for the countless lives that we haven't been able to talk about. You know?
Right, that it sends a message.
Right.
It sends a message that you cannot just treat us this way. We're not taking it anymore, and we will do what we have to do by any means necessary. Mr. Gary, there was... talk about briefly, I guess, the work that you're doing as far as working with young men to, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, this our generation teaching the generations after us how to be young men and young women and to be, accountable for our own actions and to be, you know, upstanding citizens and, you know, things of that nature. Talk about the work that you're doing.
Well, we've been using this tragic situation to reach out to the black youth in the community. We're now starting an organization to fraternize through the Adams Foundation, excuse me, here in Dayton, through the Adams Foundation here in Dayton. And what we do is... you know, all of us who lived in this community before we was all in gangs, you know, there was the Dogs and the RPPs. You know how the gangs are, the Crips, the Bloods, street gangs. So now, you know, we go to neighborhoods, and now we want to apologize to some of these gangs for the way we acted over colors and over just whatever we was beefing over, which was absolutely nothing. And now we want to just, you know, send another message out here to the youth that it's our fault that you guys are lost the way you are, because we haven't been, you know, we put the clubs first, and we put a lot of things before y'all. We did a lot of things. We put the game out here in these streets before y'all, and that's the reason why y'all don't have the instructions that was instilled in us by our grandparents who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, that's the reason why things are out of control. And then, you know, we try to get them to understand that they need to, if they cannot find an answer, that they can always turn to their God of their own understanding, you know. And that's the message that we're trying to get out to the youth. We're trying to reach all youth from 16 on up. And, you know, hopefully it's going to draw our community together, because right now it's very tense in this community, and it's a very tense situation between the black community and the police right now. People don't even want to pull over. I mean, well, you know, I take them on slow speed chase every time they get behind me, and I take them straight to the house so my
right.
wife can come outside and see what's going on, and
now,
she can follow what's going on.
Yeah, I know about that one well. You know, that's a shared experience. that we all share.
It is, and it's even more scarier now that you know they ride and I want y'all to have a understanding. The Salem Avenue Bridge is one block away from the police station. It's one block
away. That's right.
You mean to tell me that you couldn't call for backup? You mean to tell me that y'all didn't have no other resources except for to pull the car over and open the door and allow this young man to harm himself? And then you want to call it a suicide? No, that was a homicide. That was a murder on the Dayton Police Department. And,
well,
and that was negligence on their part.
Well, brother, I support you. I commend you and your passion. And I hope that not only can this some good can come out of this, and I'm hoping that in the future it won't come to this where people come together to make things right after a tragedy. You know,
yes.
we need to do some gym work where it's preventative medicine instead
yes.
of the okay, we got a big tragedy, then we got to come together because it mirrors what you were saying earlier. You know, Barack Obama gets elected. He gonna handle it, and it doesn't go like that. One
but
man can do nothing. It's all
none
about
none of us good as all of us.
Right,
and that's
right.
That's what I want. That's what I want the community to understand. None of us is as good as all of us, and we need everybody, not just the people here in Dayton, but the people out there where you at, the people all over this country. They need to understand that none of us is as good as all of us. And if we band together, and if we stand together, and if we go down to these city officials and we tell them we're not taking this no more, and we don't have to go to visuals. I'm talking going to funerals and visuals. I'm trying to organize rallies. I'm trying to do some other things for this community to come together. You know what I'm saying? Because now, you know, it's way bigger than just Tyler. You know, this
right.
is happening all over the country.
Right. Well, that was. I was gonna say in closing that was the whole point. You know, it's got to go past the we gonna fix this, and then we gonna go back to the status quo. Status quo
exactly.
should have been killed a long time ago. It's
yeah.
be proactive all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Anyway, sir, I want to thank you for coming on and telling the story. And we, of course, will be following the story. And when you get some updates, man, feel free to give us a call. We always got an ear for this.
I got the number and the website. I really appreciate you guys for having me on, man.
We appreciate you for coming on, sir.
Thank you so much. And please express our deepest condolences to the family, to Mr. and Mrs. English. And just let them know Smooth Drama is here. Whenever they need a voice, Smooth Drama is here to give them their voice.
All right. Thank y'all so much.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Oh, man. You hate to hear about that. Just hate to hear about stuff like that. Oh, on that note, we gonna take a quick break here. This is House of M, the initiative. Okay. I think we're having a technical difficulty here. Hold on a second.
Together you got Smooth Drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties beyond our control. I hear about that, and you know, it's funny. A few minutes, well, I say about 10-15 minutes before I came on the show, I was looking out the window, and I saw a young man say he's about 8 or 9 years old, and he was lighting up a cigar and looking around to see if somebody was looking. And with him, his playmates, two little girls, one looked like she's about 6 or 7, the other one about 5 or 6. You know, and they're there, and it was like, this is cool. And you know, the funny thing about it is these things are, kids watch what we do.
Yeah.
Going back to what Mr. Gary says here, kids watch what we do. So if you as a person in the community, whatnot, they admire you. I mean, you know, any parent knows, any good parent knows that your kids look at everything and mimic everything that you do.
Yes.
It's the letter. So
yes.
If you're tripping, they're. And you can't.
That saying, "Do as I say and not as I do," that don't work.
Yeah.
We have to lead by example.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, and so I mean, I see it, and it was funny. I was reading an article about the LAPD and how, because of the cuts in overtime pay, the local sheriff's deputies have turned to fraud and other illicit sources of income, which we would call crime. You know, and they're like, yeah, supposedly the police agency watchdogs, they aren't surprised by the increase because they have become, I guess, what you say, dependent on the extra income, whatnot.
Say they surprised.
Yeah, that sounds like crime to me. I don't know what it sounds like to you, Ms. 100%, but if they're...
But you know, I thought you said that they were surprised that they were doing it.
That, well, they said they aren't surprised.
Aren't. Okay. Yeah. I thought you said they were surprised.
No,
and I'm like, really now? Imagine that. A cop stealing evidence and selling it on a street.
Right, or...
Okay.
Torching. I mean, they're saying cops are burning,
robbing drug dealers,
and getting the insurance payouts, or fabricating burglary charges.
Yes.
So they can,
anything that they can get their hands on. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm not indifferent to it. I mean, because obviously, we know that cops are crooked, and Lord knows. If I have a dollar for every time I said the cops was crooked, I'd be a rich man. I see it in the indifference that I see in myself, because we're so used to it. You know, we just got through talking about a young man being killed before his prime, and you know, we're so indifferent to it. I mean, we're mad, we're upset, but because it's the status quo, we're cool with it. Almost, it's almost like it's
right.
Cool. I mean, crime. I mean, we're used to being shitted on.
Right. If we become desensitized to it, it doesn't shock us anymore. You know, it doesn't appall us anymore. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, there it goes again. Oh, well, what's next? What's, you know, what's the next story on TV? That's how the attitude is just about.
Right. Right. It's like you say, it's TV. I mean, because I was reading a couple stories. Mother was killed because she asked her kids to play Yahtzee. And then I read another where a parent was beat to death. Parents were beat to death by their kid with a hammer. And then he had a party at the house afterwards. You know, it's something that you see in the movies and don't think it's real, but it is real, unfortunately. And like you say, we desensitize to it, and we think these things is just part of the landscape. And I take from that, like, we don't know what regular is any longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we stuck at, the whole what is regular.
Right, the abnormal has become normal, which is very twisted.
Well, it's not even the abnormal is normal. It's just we because we see so much abnormality, we're like, all right, okay, I'm not shocked by that.
Or we say, oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
And that's about all, you know, that's about it.
Right. Well, I mean, and the reason why I talk about, you know, we always talk about the dumbass, the haters, whatnot, because to me, that's abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not normal. And I'm like, why we don't highlight these fools for what they are? They not regular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I ask people, you know, is that what's really real? Is that the reality that we want to live in? That we think is real? I mean, you know, I always talk about the quote-unquote constitutional stuff. I mean, I understand as a black man, we wasn't officially covered by the Constitution except for the whole three-fifths of a man part.
Mm.
You know, we understand that, but at the same time, you know, do you care about your rights? I wonder when rights get taken away, folks don't care, but, you know, no football, people are insane.
Mm.
I mean, football, sports is more important than your rights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your personal rights. I mean, case in point, riding down the street, there no, you know how normally you'll see the Mexican homie? Well, I don't know about y'all back east. You normally see the Mexican homie selling the strawberries, the watermelon, the oranges, the cherries on the street.
Yeah.
They don't sell that any longer.
They're not allowed to.
Yeah, they're not allowed to. I mean, even the, you know how people have their garage sales. They're mm-hmm. being discouraged. If you don't have a permit,
mm-hmm.
you're being fined for that.
Right. Like the little girl's lemonade stand. They were I believe just trying to make some money
right.
for a field trip or something, and they had a lemonade stand. And the cops came by and shut them down.
Right.
A lemonade stand, because they didn't have a vendor's license to sell lemonade for 25 cents, really?
Right. And that's the whole point. I mean, we got to a point where folks don't understand that we martial law is at the door.
That's right.
And you don't even see it. I mean, I'll even go even deeper. Michelle Bachmann. Some people may know her as someone who she's running for president. She has a church, and her husband has a Christian counseling business. And part of the business was, you know, encouraging people to be better Christians, And if you're a homosexual, whatnot, to try to change your sexual orientation. You know, they call them conversion therapy. Now, I myself, when I see conversion therapy and them telling people not to be who they are, I always go back to roots. I don't know about anybody else, but I always think of your name not Kunta Kinte no more. Your name is Toby.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where I am, because I say, okay, so who I am is not important. Who I am is only important if I'm like you.
Yeah, if it line up with your game plan, then it's good. It's all good. But if I want to go my own way and be my own person, then that's all bad. Because, it, you know, they want us to conform to their ways.
Right.
But and behind the closed doors, they are just as, here we go with that word, abnormal again. They see homosexuality as being abnormal. But behind closed doors, you have a preacher in the pulpit preaching and telling you wrong and you going to hell for being a homosexual, but he's a homosexual and molesting kids himself.
Exactly. And that's my point. I use the homosexuality as the example because...
Yeah, just an example, yeah.
Because people look at that like, oh, that's the issue. Man, homosexuality has been around forever.
Yes.
Forever. And mm-hmm. The world won't end If men kiss men or if women kiss women. My world won't end. I don't know about anybody else, but my world is not affected by that. My world is affected by cops who profile and pick me up and try to entice me and do harm to me because of who I am physically.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
affects me. You mm-hmm. know, when my rights is taken away, that affects me. I'm sorry. I don't know how people don't equate that way. Your rights are more important than anything. And if you can't get on board with that and you don't see it from that aspect, I see these words, once again, conversion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I'm not good the way I am unless I'm like you.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times we've seen it? Michael Jackson at the height. I mean, Michael Jackson, the greatest performer ever, arguably. And
mm-hmm.
he wasn't comfortable in his own skin.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what I see when I see conversion therapy. Sammy Sosa, home run hitter, great baseball player, at the pinnacle, and he's not comfortable with who he is because there's a standard that's put out there that's saying that, hey, who you are is not good enough if you're not like us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the standard. And I'm like, why is that the standard? It's not the standard for me, Miss 100%.
Yeah.
I suspect it's not for you either.
No. Who says what the standard is? That's you know, food for thought. Who says that this person is the right person to set standards for everybody else? Right. What makes him so perfect?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
He fell out of heaven with a robe on?
Yeah.
Or is he's perfect in every way?
Probably not. And on that note, I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank Mr. Gary for coming on and sharing his story. We will be following it. I want to thank Miss 100% for being the great co-host that she is for Smooth Drive.
Hello.
I'm Dick Hugger. And for Miss 100%, we out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth.